I'm so excited to be here. Pastor Brenda, let me just say, I do not take this lightly. I don't. I can't even thank you enough. And I thank Father for letting me share this story yet again. It's his story. So I thank you. God, I just thank you right now, Father God. So much prayer has already saturated this place. I'm not trying to improve upon that. But God, we welcome your presence here. We say, have your way, God. We thank you. We are already open vessels of your love and your healing today. God, make me that transparent vessel to share this in the way that you would have it shared, Father God. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Yesterday morning, before I even got out the bed, y'all remember that commercial that used to say that Army people, we do more before 8 a.m. than most people do all day. That kind of show our age in here, don't it? Because I've been a commercial for a long time. But I'm a contractor for the Army. I'm not in the Army, but I work for the Army. So I have to be at work very, very early. So I get up about 4:30 so I could spend some time with Papa before I go to that place. So oftentimes, before I even roll out the bed, he already speaking something, singing a song, showing me whatever. And what I saw yesterday, he kept showing it to me repeatedly, even now when I got here, even this morning. And it's this really big silver hammer, and it just keeps coming down. It come down one time, but things just shatter. And I know exactly what he's showing me, but chains are going to be broken. This is such an appointed time. And I'm very honored to be here and to be a part of this whole thing. And the Hebrew word for an appointed time is moed. And appointed times, plural, is moedim. And I keep hearing that. This is a moedim. And woman of God, he said, ask for the rain while the rain is falling. In this season, in this moedim, it's an appointed time for us to be thrust into our destiny. I believe it. I know it's true. And Pastor Brenda, I wish I had time, but this is not what I was up here to talk about. But I wish I had time to talk about some of the seasons and the feast that the Hebrew people celebrate that God appointed them and told them, instructed them to do from here on out. But he didn't say just my Hebrew people or Jewish people. That's he said my people to observe these times, these Moedim. Yes. And I feel like every time these seasons happen, it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. When every time these seasons take place, stuff happens, whether people of God realize why the heavens are, why this open door, even more open. God is always with us. He's always present. But even more so during certain times, I'm certain of it and I believe it and nobody can convince me otherwise. And I don't want to talk about all that, but at some point, praise God, I hope that I will be able to share. So today, I know that we are oftentimes, we hear from here to there. How do we get from here to there? But actually, the title that today that I heard initially when I first heard about, you know, that God would give me an opportunity to share was From There to Here. So from 2011, when I went through the Fulfilling Your Dreams mentorship course, to here, to right now, where I am right now, 5 years later in 2016. It's an amazing journey of restoration and healing, and I love God because of the way that he loved me. It's true, because he loved me first. It's really, really true. He loved me and all that mess and all that craziness and brought me out, and I could, let me stay on course, huh? So in 2011, I had the, matter of fact, let me say this first. Minister Karen was our mentor for our course in Colorado, which is where I met her. And I now reside in Alabama for the last 2 years. But in Colorado, when I met her, she was getting ready to do this course. I'm like, I'm all in. You know, I paid my money. I've got signed up. I'm in. I was invested, really. And it wasn't even that much money, but because I paid something, I'm invested. I'm like, God, this is God. I'm ready. So that our class started in June, and 3-4 months prior to that, matter of fact, hold on. So it was actually on the way here when Minister Karen picked me up from the airport yesterday. I'm sorry to backtrack, but I have got to share this part. I had no idea that her relationship with you was her mentor, and when she went through the mentorship course 11 years ago, right? That's And I was like, what? Are you serious? I thought that you just gave those, not just, because it's no light thing, these mentorship classes. I thought that you just, you did, that was something that you did on an ongoing basis when I saw, you know, dreamers, calling all dreamers. I'm like, I'm a dreamer. So I didn't know it was the one that she went through, and you birthed a mentor who then birthed a mentor. I haven't done any classes, but I absolutely have had young women. So I thank God for that. And I was like, when she told me that yesterday, I said, oh my gosh, I just felt the weight of that thing. You know what I mean? Like it was all, it's birthed from you. And I was like, God, so Pastor Brenda is like my spiritual grandma. And I said, maybe I should tell her that and whisper it. But anyway, thank you. Thank you. So, first of all, let me just read a scripture. I was going to just get started with the story. But the story, my testimony is based so much on this infirm woman from Luke 10. And I'm going to read, I'm sorry, Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. And I know that's quite a chunk of scripture to read, but I want to read it. It's all very pertinent, and it all is just pertinent. So I'm gonna read that out for you guys. Okay, Luke 13, starting at verse 10. Now he, meaning Jesus, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. But when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, woman, you are set free from your ailment. And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood straight up and began praising God. But the leaders of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, they kept saying to the crowd, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done here. You come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered them and said, you hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger, and you lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, shouldn't she be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? And when they heard this, all the opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. I love that scripture. God, I thank you for the power in your word. It does not return unto you void. It doesn't. The word is just so rich. I love that scripture because it's so pertinent to my life and what happened to me during this mentorship course. So I want to like paint a little picture real fast. So back in these ancient times when the synagogue that Jesus was preaching at, some of them that they say look like caves with like just a podium they had in the middle, kind of a podium, and some stone benches like around the edges. It wasn't the temple where they did this formal worship at, not a place like that, but a place where you go get teaching. You know, so anybody, not a woman especially, but leaders in the community can go in there and teach or read from the scrolls, read scripture. So this is what Jesus was doing on this Sabbath day. And so y'all imagine this. This lady is on one of these. It's a crowd around everybody, right? And so she coming over, this infirm woman, she can't bend up at all. I mean, straighten up at all. This lady looking at her feet. She probably looking at all kind of dirty people's feet. I don't know where her mentality was at for you to walk around your whole life for 18 years, not your whole life, but that's a long time, to be looking at the ground. Her perspective on life couldn't have been that great. Looking at dusty toes, they didn't have roads like we have, dirt, right? That's crazy. So Jesus called her over. Must have been a big spectacle because women didn't really have a great place back then, you know, for her to call this woman over in the front. He called her. And do you know that word in the Greek, this word called, I want to read it and I don't want to mess it up. It is a word that's actually from two words. One is pros and one is phono. And when you go down and you drill down into these words in the Greek, they actually mean when he called her. I really want you to get this picture because it's so amazing what God did for me too. It means that he called, he shed a light not just on this woman, he did, because all these people was looking at her, but he spoke to that thing that was had her hunched over like this, this infirm thing. It was a thing. It wasn't really a sickness. It manifested like a physical ailment, but it was a spirit, yeah? And he shed, that word means shed a light, like to recognize it and to reveal it and to say, I see you. So he called her over by name, and he didn't call her by name, but he saw that spirit. So I think two things was happening there. I feel like God showed me two things was happening. He saw this woman, and he said, woman, come here. Yeah. But he was like, I see you too, and I'm shining a light on you. Yeah. Your time with this lady is done. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So he called her forward. She shuffled forward. I can imagine all the people, like, especially the leaders, you know, the hypocrites. Oh, what's she doing? And, you know, she all, why are you calling her to the front? Yeah. And he healed her immediately. And she was able to, matter of fact, when he said she was set free, that word in some translations is loosed. And we heard that before. T.D. Jakes has a book called Woman, Thou Art Loosed, yeah, and a conference. Yeah. And it was one of our books in the mentorship course. And so this is what was happening at this time in my life. We actually went over this when I had this experience I'm going to tell you about. But when he loosed her, that word actually in the Greek, it means to release and dismiss. So look at what was going on. He called this lady to the front. He said, spirit of infirmity, whatever it was, I see you. I'm shedding the light on you. You no longer hidden. I'm revealing it to dismiss you. That word means dismissed. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's amazing. I'm calling you out to dismiss you. Yeah. That's what God is doing to his daughters. That's what this is all about, right? Yeah. Now, mind you, back in June of 2011, when this class started, I was on the prayer team with Karen at church. We were seeing stuff happen. We praying the paint off the walls. We seeing, you know, I'm not going to say anything that God does is not a miracle, for real. It is. But it wasn't like we were seeing blind eyes and whatever, whatever. I'm just saying that I know that God was using me at that time. So I had an opportunity, have been divorced for 17 years at that point, and had an opportunity to go to New York and see the father of my children with my children. We haven't seen him in 17 years, nor talked to him at all, nothing. So needless to say, I went through so many layers of forgiveness through this whole being separated and divorced for these 17 years. No God. God brought me from such a long way that by the time early 2011, when I heard that he had this aneurysm and he was in a coma and all that, I was able to pray for him to live and not die, declare the works of the Lord. And I mean, so God brought me a mighty long way, and I had no idea of what God was getting ready to do in my life as far as this was concerned. So we went to New York, me and the kids went to New York. Matter of fact, didn't want to go. I did want to go at first, but the closer that we got to the trip, I start remembering stuff I forgot all about. God shed a light on that. So he called me. When he called me forward, I want you to go see him. I was like, and then I'm like, okay, we can go. And the money, he provided the money, and God did everything, I promise you. It was an amazing story. However, about a week before we left, I start having a little breakdown. I start crying. I start remembering. I didn't remember all these years. My oldest son at that point, at that time, was 23. And the youngest one was 21. I forgot that when I actually had the baby, that he didn't come back to the hospital to pick us up. We was married. I thought you come get your wife and baby after when they're getting ready to be dismissed. And these ladies at the hospital, God is so sweet. They were so merciful and kind to me. I said, he coming. They was like, we're going to have to call a cab for you. He coming. He didn't ever come. Do you know I forgot about that? I completely forgot. When God brought that back to my mind, I was done. I said, look, God, I don't know why you making me do this. And I was crying because I was like, I don't even like him. He. I don't care. I was thinking all kinds of crazy stuff. Maybe he, the coma, shouldn't even be alive. Blah, 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 blah. All kinds of crazy stuff. And I promise, I'm sitting on the bed crying. I said, why are you making me do this? I'm remembering all this stuff. And actually, I feel like I just really don't want to go at all. And God said to me, and it wasn't an audible voice, but it was so loud and so clear. And he's so beautiful. And I love him so much for this. He said, I'm not making you do anything. But if you go, I'll be with you. I was crying, y'all. Just like that, like almost like I was faking. I said, oh, okay, the creator of the universe, the maker of everything in me and everything we see, we live and move and have our being in him. He said he was going with me. I know he's always with us. But when he told me that, yeah. I said, oh, I'm going. Okay. Instant. Yeah. So fast forward to when we got to New York, he was at the nursing home still. He wasn't no longer in a coma. So we went to the nursing home. He haven't seen his kids since they was little. So we got to this nursing home. This man has always been very charismatic. At this point, he was 45 in a wheelchair, very heavy because he can't walk, you know, and he had this big dent in his head from that. And I always do like this because it's the size of my fist, this big dent, because he had this brain surgery from this aneurysm, was in a coma. So he had a little bit of brain damage, as you can imagine, a little bit, but whatever. He's still able to talk. He can remember stuff, whatever. So very charismatic still. He always was. Even in the wheelchair, I was like, look at that. The gifts are still in operation. They are without repentance for real. This man got charisma. Yeah. So all these people at this huge, three-story, huge, old nursing home, way 40 minutes out from Buffalo, New York. We was on the third floor, and it was an interior hall where the halls intersect. So we had his daughter, who I got an opportunity to meet, beautiful young lady up there in New York, and the kids, that's her sister, right? They love her. Oh, I love her. She's beautiful. And his nephew. So there was five of us there, my two sons, myself, his daughter, his nephew. So all of us are standing in this hallway waiting for, the nurses already knew. We told them who we were coming, they already knew. So they got him all ready because his family coming, his kids, whatever. So they brought this man out, and it was all these people in the hallway, you guys. All these people by the nurses station on these two intersecting. Probably 15, 20 people. Could have been more. I'm just trying to minimize it. It was just a huge crowd, and I was like, he still got the charisma. That's when I was like, dang, they like, Terry. Anyway, so they wheeled him out, and I'm on the outside of the crowd. And I heard them. The nurse was saying, do you know who they are? That's my daughter. That's my nephew, but I don't know who they are. Anyway, and this is so amazing, I heard this loud, sharp, fast noise come from the ceiling to go down a hallway. I'm outside of a crowd of people. It said, whoosh! And I was like, why is nobody else in here alarmed? What is that? What was that? They all still in the moment over there. And I was like, oh my gosh, something is happening. So I go around the crowd. And at that moment, I heard him say something about your kids. And I heard this man cry out, this wail from, I can't even imagine what he looked like, but it was from the depths of who he was. This is what I heard. Because it was his kids. He was like, my boys. And I was like, wow. But I'm trying to, all this was so fast happening because I'm like, what was that? So I looked down that hall where I heard this noise come from. There is no windows over there. I was like, and I looked down that way, same thing. Interior hall, no windows, no nothing. And he said, I heard when I was like, oh my gosh, something just happened. And I said, God, I trust you'll tell me what that was, because something supernatural absolutely just happened and nobody heard it but me. He said, where's Deb? And at that moment, I looked at him. I don't know if the sea parted. I didn't have to do much. I kind of just looked through the crowd. And I promise, I didn't have a word for that, but I had a word for what I felt, and it was compassion. Pure, unadulterated, if it's such a thing as unadulterated compassion, I had that. Yeah. It was amazing. My heart was so for him. Not love you, want you to be my man again, da da da. None of that. But I wanted him to be whole and heal and okay. And all I could do was just go give him a hug. And I was like, oh my gosh, hey. And I said, God did that. Anyway, so by the time that we left there, it was an amazing healing trip for me and the kids and my ex-husband. He actually told us during that week that, well, he told me, you know, just personally, he said, you know, I had given up because I was trying to learn how to walk. It seemed like this was never going to happen. And he said, and since I saw them, I realized that I have a reason to live again. Oh my gosh, I started crying. I said, to live again? He said, I didn't want to live any longer, and I was trying to figure out how to like make that happen. Oh my gosh. I said, God, you are so good. So fast forward to on our way home, while we were sitting on the plane to leave Buffalo, New York, I had my head on the window, and I'm just kind of pondering all the things that happened, and I'm like fallen so in love with God even more than I thought was possible. And I was like, you did that for me. You did that for my kid. You did that for him. And he wasn't right. And I wasn't either, but I think I was better than him. Just saying. Yeah. Anyway. But God said to me at that moment, he said, you are now free to move about the cabin. I said, what? I just started crying because the cabin that he showed me at that moment was the earth. I saw a globe. And I said, oh my goodness, I've been set free. That's all I knew. I was like, I had no idea the weight of what just happened. I still didn't really, but I know what he was telling me and I know what he was showing me. My cabin was his creation, right? I was like, oh my goodness. So when we got back home, I was sharing with one of my friends about 3 days later, because it was a lot to process and pray through and oh goodness. Anyway, so I was telling her about this experience. And my little office used to be in my bathroom, so I used to always be on the toilet. Not on the toilet, but that's my chair. So I remember I had really books. All my study material was all around there on the other side of the bed and all on both sides of the, it's crazy. Anyway, and my friend was saying, what was it? Did God tell you what it was? Did he tell you what that was? What did you see? What was that? I mean, what, you know, did he tell you? And I heard her still talking, and that's when the Holy Spirit told me what it was. And he was real sweet about it. This is how he do, Deborah. He say, animosity, 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 animosity. And she was still talking. I got off my little bench, and I went, and I got my dictionary, because animosity is not a word I use. I heard it. I know what it means, I think. But I went and got my big old blue dictionary, and I looked it up. My friend's still talking. I don't know what she's talking about. I promise you I don't. She was talking, though, and I was like, I don't know what she's talking about, because I'm, like, having a moment with God like this. And I said, oh, my gosh, listen to this. She was like, what? I said, I told her what I just told you. I said, the Holy Spirit told me it was animosity. And guess what the definition of animosity was? Active hatred or extreme hostility. He said, that's what I dismissed from over your life. Now, I don't know how to explain where this thing hovered over me, where it was, how it was able to hang out still through all the healing that I had already been through and all the forgiveness that I'd already been through regarding that. I believe it was layers, but that was deep to me, and I cried. I'm like, I gotta hang up the phone now because this is real weighty. Active hatred. That is a very strong word, right? Active hatred. God showed me at that moment my heart was like a prism. It was like this big diamond with a lot of different facets in it. And he said his light comes through and he wants to show me something, tell me something, want me to do something, just want me to know something about even who he is. He said, whatever it is, he said, this animosity had this black stain, like this blockage in your heart. And he said, my light wasn't even able to penetrate through this area of your heart. It's so important for us to be healed because we have these areas that's not surrendered, you know, and it's not surrendered to God. And he said, I needed you to tell somebody or show somebody something, but you presented to her in a way through that hurt that I didn't even know was there, that I didn't even know was there. And I was like, it's just so important for us to be healed. And I said, I sure love you for that. That's amazing to me. So that is so amazing. I have to, oh good, I'm doing good on time. One of the things, he's so beautiful, that's amazing, that he really wants us to be free and whole. That was one of the things he keep repeating to me about this time, what he wants to do, that he wants people whole, whole. The word in Greek for like wholeness and a healing and a prosperity and a peace and all that is sozo, S-O-Z-O, sozo. It means a complete restoration, healing, wholeness, prosperity, emotionally, in every way that you can possibly imagine. And I mean every way, physically, every way. And that twin word, or should I say the counterpart in Hebrew to that word, is shalom. Don't they say that to each other all the time? Yes. Shalom. They say it for hello. They say it for good night. They say it for everything. So God was telling me, I need complete shalom. I need complete sozo. And because my love is for girls and for women, it's just something that he always talked to me. He said, I need my daughters healed and whole right now. And one of the things that this scripture I really, 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 really love is when Jesus said, ought not this daughter of Abraham?
Yes.
It's her right. It's her inheritance.
Yes.
Now check this out. God said, it's yours too, Deborah. So in Galatians 3:7, it says, understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Galatians 3:9 said, so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, Deborah, according to the promise. God made us this promise. We are the daughters of Abraham. We are to walk into your inheritance is to be incomplete shalom, incomplete sozo, so that every plan that he has for you, every dream that God has for us, that we are able to walk in it in the way that he intended us to, in his fullness. And that's what he wants for us today. And I know that there's a birthing of that this weekend. I just know it because I know it. Before I even knew I would be here, he was talking to me about victory and shalom and wholeness in this season. I do need to say this. In Leviticus, they talk a lot. God talked about when he gave the Israelites all these rules and regulations, right, for when they were, how they would structure and be as a society, really, moving about the wilderness. But some of that stuff didn't pass away. I mean, we're not under that. However, one of these appointed times that they talked about, that God instructed about, was Jubilee. So Jubilee is a 50th year, and I think we hear that when people have their 50th year anniversary. It's a Jubilee anniversary. I love the name of that, Jubilee. It just sounds fun. But it's a celebration of freedom. And this year is the year of Jubilee. And it actually, the Jewish year, it goes from, or should I say the Hebrew calendar. It's a lunar calendar. It's not the same as ours. But that calendar, the new year actually this year is October 3rd. They start their days at 6 p.m. the day before. So Jubilee is over on the calendar at the end of this year. This whole last year has been a year of freedom. Jubilee is the year that says that what comes back to you, your original property. I asked God about that. I said, what if my family don't have no property that I know of? He said, it's your inheritance from your, like, a generational blessings, generational calls. I believe that that's the kind of stuff that God is wanting us to walk in the fulfillment of those things now for such a time as this. He talked to me about synergistically obtaining this generational thing from past ancestors that didn't say yes to the call, or maybe couldn't because of hurt or pain or whatever. They wasn't able to walk it out in the right way. I said, God, continue to heal whatever areas is broken in me, just like that infirm woman, so that I can stand up like this and be able to speak to whoever, do whatever it is you call me to do. And guess what he said? I didn't heal you because I need you to do something for me. I didn't have you stand erect so that I can use you in the right way, so you could do this and do that. He said, I healed you because you belong to me. Really? Who don't love a God like that? And I remember all those mothers in the church where I grew up, the lover of my soul, Jesus, the lover of my soul. And I was like, the lover. And then you hear these songs. Man, I know what those old ladies meant by and by. Even as they used to say, as time goes on, I was like, I get it, mother. I understand what you meant back then. So this wholeness that we are to walk in, I just, before I take my seat, I would like to say a prayer over that whole thing before I take my seat, to just release a healing. Because your testimony, huh? And I love Hebrew. Let me say this. One of the things in the class, one of the dreams that God has for me is to at some point minister in the land of Israel. I don't know when, where, how. I thought it would be before now, but he has been preparing me. He has been preparing me. A year after this class, actually, in 2011, I left my job in 2012 with no other job lined up. God kept me in my house before it sold for a year and a half with good snacks, better food than I had than when I was working. And that's for real. I was like, how you do this? I left my job. I left my church. I went to a synagogue where he told me to go. that was not messianic, meaning that they do not believe in Jesus. They was actually very anti-Jesus and very anti-Deborah. And whew, it was a beautiful experience. I learned a lot about God's order. I learned a lot about that's my daddy, and I can sit at his feet. And Jesus, he watches me. He is my husband. Holy Spirit is always with me, leading and guiding me. I know all of that, but what I learned at that synagogue, I don't take God's, his reign, his royalty for granted at all. They don't play. We worship, had prayers for like 45 minutes before church even started, before the service even started. That was so powerful to me because I said, they're not playing with you. They don't know grace. They don't know the grace sign, and we live under that. You know what I mean? I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I thank him. I'm like, look what your blood did for me, allowing me just to be able to be in freedom. They don't have a lot of freedom in that place. But that was an experience I will never. I love that he did that for me. I love that experience. I could tell you so much about that. Left my job, left my church, went to the synagogue. Ended up going to this other church for a little while that really flowed heavily in the prophetic, an amazing church. I had grew up in two churches my whole life before I went to the church that I was at for 7 years where I met Karen, which was life-changing for me. But that was my second church I've been in, so I'm not prone to moving to that church. But God, like, this is like boot camp, jump school. This is your training ground. Don't think of it that way. I need your perception to be a little bit different about what I'm having you do. So I was only at that church for about 6 months. Ended up having a key. I'm just saying, God do the elevating, right? He do these kind of amazing things, and he taught me so much. There's stuff that I had no, it wasn't on my grid. It wasn't my lane. It's my lane now, but it wasn't. He just taught me so many things. And then I thought I was bound for Israel. So I told my sister, I'm going to come stay with you in Alabama for 5 months or so until I get ready to go to school in Israel. It's been 2 years. It was 2 years in June. I'm still in Birmingham. Amazing things have happened to me since I've been there. I became a part of a ministry and was able to minister in Honduras, not once but twice. Who does that? God, I didn't see that coming. Honduras, don't speak Spanish. Come from a place where probably I should, but I don't. But God has done these amazing things. I have met some amazing people, and I just connected with a desire of my heart for, like, to sit under this person in this deliverance ministry. They all about get to step in. And I was like, God, I need some training. I thank you for that. I don't take that for granted. God will do exactly what he said he will do. And so this class, I believe, had I not taken this mentorship course, I think that God can still do what he does in a different way, in a different avenue. But it was so appointed, and it was so rich, and it was so for then. And it thrust me into my destiny. And we're talking about our destiny. I feel like God said, you've been walking in your destiny. And there's another part of your destiny where your stage rises. I think that we all have a stage that eventually rises, you know. But he said, like, all of this is preparation, like the woman of God said last night on the potter's wheel. Because he perfecting you and making you more like Jesus, and he's just so amazing, and there's nothing that he misses, not one thing. And had I not even taken this class, I'm sure he would have did it a different way, but I'm so glad that he decided to do it, because I don't think I would even be standing here today. He saw this coming before he said light be. He knew I would be here, and he appointed all of us to be here to be thrust into our destiny. Believe it. I know that we said we're not here by accident, but each and every woman, the moment that they get here, I already know that they're not leaving the same. God, I thank you for that. I just thank you for that. We're not leaving here the same, ladies. We are not. So we got to have our expectancy high. Mine is high. And Pastor Brenda, I don't know what your next level even look like, but it's so far beyond what you can even ask or think. When I came here last night, I was like, oh my goodness, What is she doing in there? What are they doing in there? This is not big enough. And when the woman of God said that last night, I was like, I know. I thought that too when I came. I was like, what I saw actually was like the building bulging. It just looked like it was fat. You know what I mean? It's just busting out. So I thank God for that. So I wanted to tell y'all about this whole testimony thing, right? This word in Hebrew, testimony, is the root word of it is oud. W-U-D. And you say ood, like O-O-D. But it's such a powerful word because it means do it again. It means repeat it. So I think anytime that we're able to share our testimony or for somebody to hear a testimony, man, whatever part of it pertain to your life, whatever part, you can reach up and grab it. Yeah. I think you don't have to reach up. You can grab it. You can just say and declare and decree a thing and watch it be established. God, thank you. Yeah. Do that for me. Because he is no respecter of persons, and that's the truth. And so this healing and this destiny that we're walking into today, this freedom that we didn't even know that we needed probably, I don't know. I'm not assuming that everybody in here need another layer of healing. All I know is that we all got some stuff. Yes. We all have some stuff. But God said, daughter, I came that you would be set free. Woman, thou art loosed. So in just a few moments, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to bring something to your mind of what needs to go, what he's shedding a light on this morning, what he is shining these rays on so that it would be manifest. He's calling that. And when we come forward is when we lay that thing down. Say, yeah, God, that's it. Take it. So whatever that is, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us. Thank you, God. God, we thank you for this posture of surrender. This morning, this posture of have your way, however you need to have your way, do whatever it is you want to do, God. We know that all your promises are yes and amen, and we know that what you have for us is so good. Whatever this spirit of infirmity is in these daughters of Abraham and your beautiful daughters, God. Depression, hormonal imbalance, we curse that at the root. It's an earthly name, God. We don't care about that. But God, we give it all to you. Unforgiveness. Any ailment, God. Any abuse, any past abuse, God. Whatever that thing is that will have your daughters looking at the ground and not standing upright and erect. We call that thing right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, for dismissing it. Hallelujah. By the power and the blood of Jesus. God, we know that you do those things and you do it well. So, God, we thank you for having your way in this place. We thank you, God, for restoration, healing, setting free today. Today is unlike any other day. God, I thank you for continuing to move forward, the courage to continue to move forward. And I come against any lies that the enemy would try to tell us that that didn't happen for you today. You still holding on to that thing. You see how this is. You see the thoughts that you have. We don't care about that, God. We know that you do what you do because you promised. God, we say, do it again. Ood from this testimony, God. Ood. Do it again. Repeat it, God. So, God, we thank you. We trust you. And we know that you are the healer of all that is broken and amiss. Thank you, God. We thank you for allowing us to shine for your glory today and hereafter. We'll never be the same again in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.